Come on, if he's been good to you, give him some praise from down in the dear heart tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Go ahead and lift up that voice. Hallelujah. 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 So break that and give me some bomb. My, but God is good in this house tonight. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, Lord, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You've been my healer. You're my provider. You're my way maker. You've been my friend. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. It's three chords. Turn to somebody by and say, I really love him. I really love him. I really love him. Oh, yes, I do. I really love him. Does somebody? I really love him. I really love him. No, halfway. Two. If you started in one, that would be, I really love him, that would be two. If you started in C, that would be D. If you started in F, that would be G. Uh-huh. I don't know where you are, but I really love him. I really do. There's your five. He's been my healer. He's my provider. He's my way maker. He's been my friend. That'll do. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. And if I was a drummer, it'd be like, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Boom. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You've been my healer, my provider, my way maker. He's my friend. I thank you, Jesus. Somebody ought to just worship him tonight. Say, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You've been my healer. You're my provider. You're my way maker. You're my friend. Just tell somebody by you, God's been really good to me. Yeah. Somebody that really loves him ought to just give him some praise right now. You ought to just get lost in that a little bit. I got a problem and you got a problem, but my God is bigger than my problem. I got some pressure, you got some pressure, but my God is bigger than the pressure. Hey. Oh, I love church. I love church on a Sunday night. I love church on Sunday night before Thanksgiving. Did you go out and train today? Did you go to the all-you-can-eat buffet so you can train for Thursday? Got to get in shape. Big day coming. We're going to work a little bit more on what we were working on this morning and press on into it a little further. And we're going to take a text again in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Praise God. Thank you, Praise Group, for wonderful music and good singing and all that you do to set us up and help us to walk into the presence of God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I love Brother Jerry being down front. Praise God. Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. If you love his word as you're seated tonight, let's give him high praise. Let's lift up a voice and magnify him. For his word forever settled in the heavens, we praise you. We worship you. We lift you. We thank you for your word tonight, oh God, that is always true, settled in the heavens. Praise God. Beautiful baptismal service this morning. Had some visitors in the altar praying and feeling after the presence of God. Some good things going on in the Holy Ghost right now. And we're excited. A young lady was in the altar this morning. Brother Kedrick told me that she had told him that she had gotten two cards from different folks. She works in a bank here locally, and she had been invited to church a couple of times, so she came. So keep getting those cards off the rack and giving them out. Just give one to everybody you interact with and invite them. I don't care if they have five or six. One day, they're going to come and live for God. And that's our faith about that. But she was in the altar and really praying well, and Jessica was helping her, and you could tell she was feeling after the presence of God. And it's new territory for them. And what we do here quite often is we open up the terrain and we create portals and we bring down the presence of God and we cause it to cloud up and rain. Just any metaphor you care to use, we prepare the ground for them. And that's the heart of God. He's looking for the one. He's looking for the lost. He's passionate about those things, and we are too. Everybody said amen. So this morning we've made our way into Deuteronomy, and we're over in chapter 4, and the last few chapters of Numbers are a summary of what they've been doing, and we've talked about that, and we've kind of moved through that, and then the first three chapters of Deuteronomy summarize again the travels and the experiences of the latter chapters of the book of Numbers. And so now we have a generation, and the unbelieving generation has died off, and we have a generation that has wandered in the wilderness with their forebears now for 40 years, but they're ready, and it's time, and they're about to enter in to a land that they've never been in before. They're going into something they've heard about. They're going into something that's been promised to them. It was promised to Abraham, and now they are the children of Abraham, and they're about to go in, but they've never been there. They know a little bit about it because 40 years prior, there were spies that went in, and they came back talking about how wonderful it was, but how dreadful it was. And so it was full of potential, and potential is just benign. Potential is generic. It can be good, it can be bad. It's a new adventure, it's a new day, it's a new experience, it's something new out there. And there's a part of humanity that kind of cringes from the new or from the out of the ordinary. Even if you're living in a place you don't like to live, like Egypt, there's something about the framing of the house of the familiar that makes you want to stay there in Egypt when you know that it's not good for you. But when it comes down to actually stepping out into the unknown, it's many times very difficult for people to do. That's why most people don't live for God. They'd rather live in the spiritual squalor of Egypt than follow God into the promise of God. because it requires change, and change is scary, and it's a new thing, and it's a new day, and that's where this generation is. But God gives them a commandment here, and he tells them it's about time for you to go in. So now hearken, Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you for to do them. Everyone say, to do them. You need to know the Word of God. You need to believe the Word of God. You need to embrace the Word of God. But none of that matters if you don't do the Word of God. The Word of God is about doing. And so God has something for you to do. And he teaches them here. These are the statutes and the judgments I teach you for to do them, that you may live. And so life then can be equated with following after the will and the purpose of God. Every person in this house now has destiny, has purpose, has reason, has calling. You may not know what it is, but God put it there, and it's real, and it's alive down in your heart. And if you don't fulfill that purpose, you will never be satisfied, and you'll never find what you're hungry for and what you're looking for. It's only when you stand in the middle of the actualized Word of God in your life that you say, this is it. And it's what Frankel was talking about when he said, man searches for meaning. And I'm just telling you right now, that's why the drugger drugs, and it's why the drinker drinks, and it's why people run from one marriage to another, and it's why folks are always chasing after some different thing, some new. They are hungry for God. There's a void down inside that only God can fill, that only the Word of God can fill. He said, I've given you statutes and judgments so you can do them, so you can live. I'm going to offer you an idea tonight that if you're living outside the Word of God, you're just dying. That's all you're doing. You're dying in slow motion. You're heading toward the grave, and every day is another step down toward the graveyard. And that's all you're doing. But God is stopping you. He's saying, I've got a word for you. And if you'll do my word, then you can live. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. He doesn't just want you to live. He wants you to live in abundance. He doesn't just want you to live. He wants you to wake up in the morning embracing every day, saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. So I gave you these commandments and these statutes for to do them, that you may live. A good definition for living is the actualization of potential. With that calling, with that promise, with that gifting down inside of you that God gave you, there is the need for that to be made real, or for it to be realized. There's a need for it to be made actual, or for it to be actualized. And a good definition for life is the degree to which you are actualizing yourself, your potential. And death is the failure of actualization. And there's a lot of conversation to be had about that from a lot of different directions. But in a very immediate sense, if you don't actualize, if you don't do, if you don't eat, and you don't take care of your body, you just die. And so you're not bringing to pass. You're not fulfilling potential in that. You're not taking care of business. And so you're not actualizing. You're not living. This is not some esoteric metaphysical idea. This is nuts and bolts life. This is actually the things of life. I'm just telling you, when he said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly, you need to set up and listen, because there is no life outside of God. There is no life outside the Word of God. You may be breathing, but you're dying. Your heart may be beating, but you're dying. He said that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. And so following the word of God then is the key to life, and it is the key to possessing the promise of God. Every one of us has promise from God, has potential from God's plan in our lives, and it is the will of God that you embrace that and that you find that and that you lay claim to the promise and the purpose of God. Now, all of this, and this is a little review, we talked about this morning, all of this is within context, and context is the word of God has a promise for you, but it is in the context of God's framing and God's will and God's plan. Here's a scripture that is much abused and misused. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And that may be on a bumper sticker, or that may be on a coffee cup, or that may be a slogan on the wall somewhere. But that is a word that God gave Israel before they went into Babylonian captivity, before Jerusalem was destroyed, before they were crushed under the heel of mighty Babylon. And they were going to be there for 70 years. But in the middle of that context, God said, but I've got a plan for you. You're about to go through some rough times. It's going to last for 70 years, but I know the thoughts that I have for you. And so everything you engage in the word of God concerning, you need to think in terms of context. And so context here tonight, when I'm talking about the promise of God and the purpose of God and the destiny of God, you need to understand that that's within the context of you as Israel was, you being the covenant people of God. Israel had a covenant with God. They had a pact with God, a contract, if you would, with God. And anywhere you go in the Word of God, God has dealings with mankind based on God's contract. It is a quid pro quo. It is something for something else. It is like buying something or renting something or leasing something, and you agree and the other party agrees and you sign off on it and you commit. That's how living for God is. You make a contract with God. God said, I'll forgive you your sins. I'll give you life. I'll give you eternal life. And here's what you have to do. And a clear and a very simple way of describing what God has for you is in the fine print, which is the word of God, the statutes, the rules, the laws, the commandments of God. That's what God has for you. And if you'll walk in those things and love those things, then God will give you eternal life. God will take care of your sins. God will fight with you when you fight your enemies. God will stand with you when you start a new business. God will walk with you when you're raising your babies. God will be there with you when you're at the bedside of a sick one. God will be there with you when you're on your deathbed or you're on your sick bed. Somebody say amen. Praise God. It's in the contract. It's in the contract. It's fun to hold up the word of God. David did that. Hold up the word of God to God and say, God, I'm not worth anything. God, I don't have any power. I don't know what to do. But you said in your word, and God loves it when you say that, when you remind him of what he said in his word, because he knows you're going into his treasure, and he knows you're lifting up what he has said and that you're relying on him. Israel was the covenant people, so the promise was working in their lives. For you to be in covenant tonight, there's a very simple New Testament recipe, and it is simply repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Those three things will bring you into the contract tonight. You can sign on the dotted line tonight. Repentance is turning away from your life and who you are and what you've been, and coming to God. And we have water in a baptistry right here, and we'll put you down, submerge you in water like they did in the Bible, and we'll invoke the name of Jesus over your life. And when we do, every sin will be washed away, and the name that is above every name will be applied to your life. It is the name by which the whole family of God in heaven and earth is named. and you join the family of God when you go down in that water in the name of Jesus. There's nothing else that'll get you in the contract. You can believe it, but if you don't act on it, you're not in the contract. You can confess it, but if you don't act on the word of God concerning it, you're not in the contract. But if you'll go down in the water tonight in Jesus' name and then lift your hands and begin to praise him and let God fill you with the Holy Ghost, you will have fulfilled Jesus' mandate in John chapter 3, born of the water and born of the Spirit. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you have a contractual arrangement with God by his word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. So, back to our text. I gave you these statutes and commandments that you might live, that you might go in and possess the land. And he said, you shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught. So you can't take away from it. You can't add to it. You read the last chapter of the book of Revelation, you find out that there are dire consequences for adding to or taking away from the word of God. Just accept it as it is. Just read it for what it says. Put your commentary on the side. Dismiss your theologian and just let the word of God talk to you. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Embrace it all. And he said that you may keep the commandments. You can't keep the commandments of God if you're editing them. So we want the word of God. We want all the word of God, and we don't want to change it at all. So he reminds them of judgment that has fallen on others in times past, and like what we've studied recently in the book of Numbers. And judgment fell on them because they got away from the word of God. But he says, but you that did cleave to the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord God commanded me. Keep therefore and do them. Everybody say, do them. The word of God is something to do. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes. And so everybody will see. When you walk with God, your family's going to see it. Your neighbors are going to see it. When you're obedient to the word of God, people on the job are going to see a difference in you. The culture around you will stop and say, there's something about those folks. Now, a lot of them like what our product is, but they don't like the way that we get there. And so they don't necessarily want to join in because they don't want to turn loose of the things that they love in the world, but they do want the outcome that you have with your children, and they do want the outcome that you have in your marriage, and they do want the outcome that you have in your craft and in your skill. And you're the first one to tell them it's all God, it's all the word of God. God blesses me and God keeps me. Is there a witness in this house tonight? So the word of God is the expression of God. It is the plan of God. It's the value system of God revealed. It's God's medium for action. The word of God, God is a spirit. We live in a natural world that was created by the word of God. And everything in the natural world is responsive to the word of God because it is the origin of all the natural world. And so we, as we handle the word of God, we understand that the center of Israel's the encampment of Israel was the word of God. And when they had to move from one location to another, the word of God would lead them. And this is a powerful thing for Israel, but it's a wonderful metaphor for us to say God needs to be, his word needs to be at the center of my life, my home, my marriage, my relationship, my business, my money, everything that I do. I want the word of God at the middle of it. And every time I move to another place, an unknown place, a new frontier, a day of potential, changing terrain, going into some strange new venue, the word of God led Israel from one encampment to the other. And we do wisely and we do well if the word of God leads us. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but the word of God will lead me safely there. I can't tell you what next week will hold, but the word of God will lead me there with good outcomes and good results. And I walk in the security of his word. Let's give God a little praise for his word tonight. And the word of God is how God brings order out of chaos. Anybody in the house had any chaos in your life? Has anybody here ever experienced any chaos? Has life ever took you and turned you upside down and shook you out? Have you ever run into something and it was like everything was out of control? And I can remember the sensation, the shock, the astonishment of being in a vehicle flipping end over end and side over side, not knowing when it would stop, wishing it would stop, not knowing what the outcome would be. But life does that to us from time to time. We get our lives turned all upside down sometime. You can call it chaos. You can label it anything you want to label it. But I'm just telling you, that's what God addresses with his word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. It was formless. It was unactualized. It was deep potential, but it was without form and it was empty. That's how the whole world was, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Before God shows up, it's without form, it's empty, and there's darkness on it. And that's what my life was before I came to know God. I'm just telling you, the days and the nights and the activities and all that I experienced, it was darkness and emptiness. You don't really see it until you come into the light. You can be out in the darkness and be filthy and not know it till you come into the light. You don't understand who you are and what you are till you come into the embrace of God. I'm telling you, God has something good for somebody in this house right now. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And this is what Paul does in the New Testament. He reaches back from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he says, you were just like that pre-creative world in darkness, without form and void. But God came and God shined his light. And that's exactly what God wants to do with you tonight. He wants to move on you by his Spirit. He wants to speak to you by his word. He wants to illuminate you with his light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. And when God's word moves into the dark, empty places, it brings forth something good. The day you look at it and it looks dark and it looks empty and uncertain and you're not sure, but you let the word of God go before you into that day, I'm telling you, what God brings out of chaos is going to be good. You let the word of God go before you into tomorrow, and I don't know what's happening on the job, and I don't know what confusion there is in your family, and I don't know what is happening at school or where you're going to be tomorrow, but if the word of God goes before you into that new encampment, I want you to know God will bring something good out of that. Praise God. Now, right now, at this point, somebody that has a big deal going on and you don't know which end is up, you ought to get a hold of that word right now and just begin to give God a little praise and magnify him. I don't know what's going to happen on this job, but the word of God is going before me. I don't know what's going to happen with that financial situation, but the word is going to go before me. Praise God. And he separates the light from the darkness. When God brings good and form out of your chaos, he's going to ask you at that point to separate to the light and to separate from the darkness. John chapter 3 teaches us about that. And the punchline about that is Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, to say, you're bad, you're wrong, you're a loser. He didn't come to say that. He came to bring you life and life more abundantly. But John goes on to say, but this is the condemnation of the world, that light has come. And men love darkness more than light because their deeds are evil. He's asking you, though, when he pulls the trigger on this and he brings you in the covenant and he shines light down and he gives you hope for a better day, to now begin to separate, because the dark friends can't go with you into the light. They won't go. They'll drag you back. The dark places won't go with you into the light. You got to leave those dark places there. When we came into church, we got the Holy Ghost. We went out back and we broke up our bongs and our we uprooted our plants and we burned all of our LPs. I hear they're coming back. And I had old friends that I grew up with. When I told them about God, they said, "I never want to see you again all my life." And it's been a little minute, but we hadn't seen each other either. It'll cost you some dark things to come to light. It'll cost you some empty things to come to form. It'll cost you some unactualized things to come into the actualization of the plan and the purpose of God in your life. But it's good. God looks at it and says, "Now that is good." Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." If you're glad for what God has done in your life and you're hungry for more, lift up your hands right now. I want somebody to talk to him. I want somebody to just talk in tongues. Somebody to just love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. So tonight, every new frontier, every new day, every new experience, if you're moving from elementary school to junior high, let the word of God lead you in that place. If you're moving from junior high to high school, if you're moving out of high school into college, whatever you're doing, Brother Cornwell likes to say, at every one of those junctures, you need to get the Holy Ghost all over again. And what he's saying is you just need a fresh vision. You need a fresh move of God in your life. And the Word of God, those are like encampments, and you need to let the Word of God lead you into all of those things. I watch young people move uncertainly and without knowledge into all sorts of areas of life, and you would think humanity would learn, but they recreate the mistakes of thousands before them. They recreate all of the same mistakes. They get involved with a girl for all the wrong reasons. They get involved with a guy for all the wrong reasons. They get involved with activities in the dark places for all the wrong reasons. But if you would just get yourself connected to God, you're wasting time, you're wasting life, and it's not inexhaustible. You don't have an infinite resource of life. You're spending it like money on the way every day. You need to begin to use and realize the word of God in your life. And God has something for you. You're going to wake up down at the end of that highway, and you're going to look back over a wasted, empty, dark life and wonder, what is the purpose and value of it all? Because you missed God at some of the early turns. I've been to a lot of funerals, and I've stood at the bedside of a lot of dying saints. And I'll just tell you, there is a transformative power in the Word of God that changes all of those experiences. Praise God. You need the Word of God. When the world was coming into creation, it was the Word of God that went forth. When the Jews were coming into the promised land at Canaan, it was the Word of God that went over before them. When the entire dispensational shift was happening from the Old Testament to the New Testament, John the Baptist is the herald, and he steps out of the very pages of the Old Testament, and the Word of God said he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, "Prepare ye a way for the Lord." And Isaiah had talked about him some 650 years before he was born. He was the Word of God, and he steps out into a place where where God's about to shift gears and the veil in the temple is going to be torn and Judaism is going to be fulfilled and the ways of the tabernacle are going to be done away with and some new thing is about to be loosed in the earth, and the word of God is what instigates it and brings it out of the unformed. The word of God is what makes that happen. I stood at Sister Willardine's bedside with Sister Jackie Trevino yesterday or a day before. And she's very, very sick. And she's been in and out of the hospital now for a long period of time. She and Max used to be regulars at New Life over on Ruffner Road. But then Max started having his health problems and he passed. And now Sister Willardine's living with her children and she's struggling and in and out of the hospital. Well, right now she's up on 6th floor at St. Vincent's East, and she's really, really battling it, and she's having a hard time, and death is in that place, and death is coming for her, and if it doesn't come right now, it's going to come. It's like Sister Mary Herring and I having a conversation at 2 a.m. in the morning over at the old Baptist hospital there at Montclair, I don't know what I'm doing out at 2 in the morning, but I thought I'll go see Sister Mary before I go home, and I dropped in on her, and she's laying up in that little ICU unit, and she sees me coming, doesn't ask why are you here at 2 in the morning. She just says, I'm afraid. She said, Brother Sutton, I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'm going to die. The devil's telling me I'm going to die. And I gave her comfort. I was a light in her life. I was strength to her marrow. I told her, Sister Mary, you are going to die. And it gave her pause. Now, she's usually real quick. Come back at you in a hurry. But she paused for a minute. I said, you are going to die. The devil's bringing old news to you. Ooh, you're going to die. Everybody dies, devil. Everybody dies, fool. That's not news. The news is, I'm going to live. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live with God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You say, how do you know that? I know that because the word of God says that. The statute, the rule, the law tells me that the grave lost its power and that death can't claim you when you belong to God. Oh, you can die in your body, but you go straight into the arms of God, and even your body is going to get resurrected on that great getting up morning. So we're standing there with Sister Willardine, and man, we start praying, and Holy Ghost is in that place. So that little room is like all the other little rooms there, and everybody in that area is very sick. Everybody up there is very, very critical. That's why they're in that ICU. And I mean, all kinds of things are hanging in the balance. And so death is present in that place. And they're just trying to help people get over the next bump and help them get past the next obstacle, help them get past. But you can't get them past them all. And eventually they're going to hit one that just can't be overcome. And everybody, just go sit down in the middle of a graveyard and think about it. Contemplate the thing. Selah. Think about it. Everybody's going to die. But this little woman, she's frail. She's short of breath. She can barely talk to me. But when we start praying, Brother Sam, she didn't pray long at all till that heavenly language shifted in. And she began to talk in tongues. And her little grip just tightened up. I mean, she got some strength right there when that Holy Ghost began to move. And I'm thinking in the middle of my prayer and in the middle of her prayer, I'm thinking, devil, we're not afraid of you. We're not afraid of this moment. We're not afraid of this place. We're not afraid of what's going to happen on the other side of whatever's beyond this little room, because the word of God goes before us and defines the unknown and brings form out of the formless. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want you to give him a little praise right now and magnify him. Hallelujah. 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 don't know when, and I don't know how, but I know this is not my home. I don't know when I'm going to leave, and I don't know the condition of my departure, but I know God is with me, and God will be there with me, and the Word of God goes before me. So we're moving into that New Testament era. And John reaches all the way back to the beginning. The other gospel writers in the other accounts go back to Abraham, or go back to the law. John goes back to the beginning. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. When you're dealing with this Word, you're dealing with God Himself. It is His expression, and God is not a man that He should lie. I want you to know you can stand on His Word. You can build a life on His Word. You can stand when everything else is falling apart on the Word of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. It was all created by His Word, and it's all responsive to His Word. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. The world is willfully ignorant of the Word of God. And the Word was made flesh. This is Jesus. And dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. The glory is only as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God is God come to speak to you. God, you can handle. The apostles say, we've handled Him, that one that was from the beginning. But I want you to know, when you're handling this Word of God, you are handling Him, and He's given it to you. The Word of God is alive, John 6. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, and they are life. And so I'm not just talking about, I'm telling you, when you're walking into that new day, into that new experience, into that new unknown, you loose your mouth and you begin to say what the Word of God has said, because you are ushering into that unknown, into that new place that you are uncertain about. You are ushering in spirit and life into that place. It goes before you into that place. And so you think about it. If it's a threat, you just say, if God be with us, who can stand against us? And if it's sickness, you just say, He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him, and by His stripes I am healed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm talking about send the Word of God before you into that new day, into that new experience, and let the Word of God start bringing form out of the unknown and out of the chaotic. The Word is indistinguishable from God Himself. Praise God. You may not know what makes your heart hurt. You may not know why you're restless and unsettled inside. You may not know why you're having bad dreams, and why you feel so bad about your life and where your life is right now. But the Word of God knows. The Word of God knows. For the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. And powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. For all the medical knowledge and all the understanding that our wonderful health care folks give us and have for us, they can't tell you where soul and spirit are connected. But the Word of God goes down into that place. And that's the place of origin of all sorts of maladies in your natural mind and in your natural body. But the Word of God goes there. It divides asunder soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You may not know why your relationships are so hard. You may not understand the chaos that you have had and that you are. Some people dread Thanksgiving. Some people dread Christmas because you've got a history of family turmoil that's going to come into a room and the drinking makes it worse and all the past comes crashing in and people try to put a happy face on it. But in the middle of it all, and the older you get, the nastier it gets. Older you get, the more foul it smells. And you may not know why those relationships are so hard, but the Word of God knows, and it pierces into those things. I'm just telling you, God can change your life. God can change your internal life. God can change your mind. God can change your relationships. God can change your outcomes. God can change your finances. God can change your business, your work, your skill, your craft. God can change the dynamic in your house and in your marriage and in your family. Somebody ought to be giving God a little praise right now. God can change all of those things that are still under the canopy of darkness. By His word, He can bring change and affect change in your life. It's how He made the natural creation. It was empty. It was dark. It was void. Paul says, that's us. Without God in our lives. Praise God. Sam, Lindsay, somebody, come help me now. Praise God. Praise God. I gotta quit. It's the week of Thanksgiving. And you got things to do and food to eat. And you gotta go over the river and through the woods. Why is it grandmother's house? It's always Grammy's house. That's where the babies go. They go to Grammy's house. It's like, my name's on the mortgage too. My name's on the deed. Who am I, chopped liver? You got places to go, people to see. I got to stop. So, sometimes holidays, from now to Christmas, suicide rates spike. Drinking and drugging spike. Darkness gets darker. Painful things seem more acute. It's just, isn't that ironic? It's supposed to be a wonderful time, but it gets really hard sometimes. But if you'll let the Word of God precede you and bring forth form and light and good, I'm telling you, everything gets better. Everything gets better. Praise God. I'm about to do something that I don't think I've ever done this. Michaela, I don't think I've ever just absolutely called somebody by name in the middle of a moment like this. But sweetheart, God has something so good for you. And He has a plan for you. And the thing is, you know it. And we know you and we love you. So this is like family talking to you. But I want you to come. I want you to come right now, if you would. You know I love you, don't you? But I want you to come. And I'd like a couple of our young ladies to come, and somebody that loves Michaela. You can walk out in dark places, and life just gets more and more complicated, more and more difficult. This altar is open right now for anybody that would like to come. Come on, if you've had enough of the chaos, if you want your family to be healthy and loving and nurturing and positive, start with you. Start by letting the Word of God go before you. If you need more in your life, more on the job, more in your skill, more in your craft, let the Word of God go. Let God start working by His Word. Don't separate the kingdom's business from your business. Don't separate. Find somebody to lay your hand on. Find somebody to stand with. Find somebody to love on. Brother David, come down here. Let us pray for you. Brother David just lost his sister.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger.
Just come all the way down here, David. Brother David's sister just passed away. He's brokenhearted. He needs the Word of God. He needs somebody to speak the Word of God and pray God's Holy Ghost all over him. Tomorrow's going to be, let God go before you. Come on, no matter what is unfolding before you, let the Word of God frame it. Let the Word of God form it up. Let the Word of God bring forth good. Let the Word of God bring forth light. Yes, 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 yes.
Our God is healer.
Thank you. Thank you.